May the Lord help us to commence this service by singing hymn 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labour not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. May he bless the reading of his word to us and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, thou gracious God, grant to us the Holy Spirit's instruction. Lord, we stand in need once more in this public way of divine teaching. We also pray too, as we approach thee once more, for that grace of humility, to bow our head in reverence. Lord, we do present our petitions upon that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for mercy, sparing mercy, Lord, for the health and strength, and the way that is made, and the desire in the soul to gather once more where thy people do. But Lord, what is the health to me, except the master there I see? So we pray, Lord, that we might have those faith views of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. We do also pray that our worship may be real. Lord, be very needful in this respect. They that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we pray, Lord, thy Holy Spirit may indeed grant us a worshiping frame. Lord, we would lose sight of time things. Lord, take from our thoughts and meditations everything that would rob, everything that would spoil, Lord. But grant that blessing which all the children of God seek for. Lord, it is mentioned in the word, we would see Jesus. Lord, so as we are found in the courts of thy house, grant that blessing to us each. Dear Lord, thou art described in Scripture as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Lord, thou didst indeed reveal the truth of that when thou didst come on earth, and thou didst take upon thyself the burdens, the burden of sin of the Church of Christ. But Lord, also we read, Lord, that thou hast a heart, a human heart, Lord, and we do thank thee that thou dost know the concerns and the cares, the sadness and the distress and the troubles and the burdens of thy dear people. So, Lord, at this time be a burden bearer to us, Lord, and for us. We seek to bring before thee those things which, Lord, are trials and troubles. And Lord, and yet we know that thou knowest these things. Lord, where difficulty and matters of spiritual concerns are burdens. Lord, we've been reminded of for the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. So we pray, Lord, that thou would arise for the cause and case of the people here this night. That which, Lord, goes between their soul and thee, those secrets which only Jesus Christ knows. Help them to unburden and to tell thee all that is their concern. And we do hope and trust, Lord, that there are those here that have brought their troubles to this house and brought their sins to this place. Lord, come just as they are. They couldn't leave them behind because they're part of their life and part of their experience, but have come to thy courts to see if thou wilt speak to them. Lord, we seek thy blessing here then this night, thy presence, and especially thy Spirit's influence. Because thou knowest the secrets, Lord, and the desires and the burdens of each. We do pray, Lord, especially too, that as we've gathered together on one more occasion, that it may not be a barren time, nor a disappointment, Lord, to any. Because, Lord, the word of God is precious, Lord, and we do ask thee to do this for thy people here. Lord, those who fear the Lord in this place, we, and each, Lord, as well as we trust, we can pray, Lord, that thou would so teach them the way and the truth concerning their own soul salvation and the need of it and the comfort of it and the assurance of it. Lord, work in the hearts of each, if it could please thee, and bring them into the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, what we want, Lord, is not only to hear the word, what we want is the application of the word. What we want, Lord, and we pray this for all here, that there may be a hearing ear and an understanding heart given. Oh, empty us each from time things for a while, Lord, and go on to do us good in our souls. We pray for those that are young here, Lord, and thank thee for their presence, and pray, Lord, that they may have a desire for the one thing that's needful. No doubt, Lord, there's many things that are problems to them, many needs that they have, many burdens, many cares. Lord, and oh, may they bring them each today, but or may they be seekers for that one thing that is vital, one thing that is needful. However we might put it, Lord, it's a matter between their soul and Jesus Christ. Lord, there's many a word which would describe their experience, if that is what it is. Lord, but we do pray that they may have this interest in the Saviour's blood. We seek to pray for those in the midst of life. Dear Lord, remember them too. They have burdens and cares, Lord, and we do ask thee too that, Lord, that thou would indeed balance the clouds for them. Lord, we trust and believe that there are those here that know what it is to have many a cloud to hide thy face. And Lord, and also to realise, Lord, that thou dost not disclose thy purposes the Lord, but often calls them to wait and to watch. Help them, Lord, to indeed lay these things at thy feet. Strengthen faith, we pray thee, and bring thy people out of the captivity of Satan into the glorious liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those that have burdens here, office bearers, we remember and pray for, Lord, that they may indeed be helped from time to time and have a witness to, Lord, of thy support and strength. It is a heavy burden to be concerned with the welfare of souls, Lord, for the maintenance of the house of God spiritually as well as temporary. Lord, casting all their cares on thee, proving thou dost care for them. We pray for the Spirit's work in this place. Lord, there be no change if there's no Spirit's work. But oh, when he works, it is, Lord, a work that shall abide. So the Holy Spirit, we pray that thou art come amongst them, and convince of sin and lead to Jesus' blood. Hear us too as we would remember those that are in sorrow. Lord, we know their path, though not in the way that they know it now. Lord, it was many, many years back when we walked such a path. But we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt support them and uphold them and comfort them. Lord, we read of the death of Lazarus that Jesus wept. So may they bring their sorrows to Jesus. And to prove the grace and mercy of God, which is all sufficient in such times. But Lord, these things are also a reminder to us all of eternity and the fast movement of time as well. Dear Lord, prepare each for a never-ending eternity. Lord, reveal to each and bring them upon that one foundation, Lord, which can never give way. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. Lord, may there be many that shall rejoice in a sound foundation. Hear us then for the mourners. Hear us for the afflictions of those that come to thy house here. We commend them to the good physician. Pray that thou wilt put forth thy hand of healing and sanctify their path to their soul. Lord, Hezekiah was afflicted. Prayer was heard. Lord, what was it for? By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Lord, out of affliction came healing, and Lord, alongside with it, and much more important, was the forgiveness of sins. We seek this blessing, Lord, for those that know affliction's path. Remember those who come here and preach the gospel. Lord, in their errand to this place, may they bring a message from God. Lord, to whom it will be applied with power, so that their labours are not in vain, nor their strength spent for naught. It is a wonderful mercy, Lord, when it seems to the believer that this messenger has a message, and it is applied and made known, Lord, especially when for the most part thy servants are strangers to their personal walk and pathway. So add to the church such as will confess their interest and love in Jesus Christ. that will tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour they have found. Lord, do revive then and do strengthen the church and cause, O Lord, with these mercies and favours brought to them. Lord, may Satan be not allowed to hinder thy work. Lord, overthrow the powers of evil, Lord, which come against the precious soul that is following on in the way. Lord, we do pray that the love of Christ may be seen and understood and felt, the power of it. Lord, one said, nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. We do thank thee, Lord, for where afflictions are in thy servants, that there is a raising up, and that the ministry, Lord, has continued. May it be that these deep afflictions may be for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, hear us as we would pray again for those, for that blessing of sending forth labourers more into thy vineyard. Lord, we do seek this mercy, this favour, this blessing upon the churches. And in these days, Lord, and especially at these times, Lord, when the ministry is prayed about and sought for a further year, that there may be a desire in many a soul for a pastor and a seeking at the throne of grace for this blessing. Now we thank thee too that thou art not only a God of grace, but thou art a God of providence. And we bless thee for thy mercy in this, that thou hast maintained a lot of thy people. Lord, one thing is needful though. Providential things will come to a halt one day. Lord, we shall leave these providential blessings to someone else. So may the desire be in each soul, young or old. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Lord, remember us now at this time and through this service. Remember all the burdens and cares of each. Remember, Lord, and we do fear sometimes, Lord, that we forget to pray for one and another. Absent friends, Lord, we do seek to pray for those that carry burdens, Lord, in their own soul. We seek to pray, Lord, for thy presence and help. Holy Spirit, send forth thy word. Pardon all our sins and all our iniquities. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Hymn 238.
dependent entirely upon the Lord's help, I would ask your attention to the 23rd chapter of the book of the Proverbs and verse 18. Verse 18 of the 23rd chapter of the book of the Proverbs. Surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. The writer Solomon was blessed with wisdom. The Lord met with him and asked him what he should give him, and wisdom was the request. And as you and I read the books that are attributed to him, you can see the wisdom of God in the truths that are recorded. But who knows, other than those who fear the Lord, what it is to be raised up to possess an expectation. I thought much about these words since yesterday, and I thought I would ask the question. The question is there those among us that have an expectation? That is, a God-given expectation. David wrote in the 27th Psalm a very suitable word. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What is therefore an expectation? There is another word which is in complete opposite to it, and that is disappointment. And how many of you, or me as well, know what it is to have disappointments? The Lord appears and raises up his tried, troubled, distressed children to an expectation. But we then begin to consider that such a time is therefore soon. But in the purposes of God, times of expectation are often tried times. And tried times, of course, not only the Lord tries his work, but be sure of this, so will Satan. And he will set up all sorts of opposition to the promises and experiences of the people of God. But this wise man wrote, "And thine expectation shall not be cut off." If the answer to my question is that there are those here, young as well as older ones, who have from time to time been raised up to what we might call an expectation of a blessing, well, those experiences are blessed experiences. But Jesus said, your time is always ready, but my time is not yet. And I looked at a hymn which some of us will know something about. The time he has set to heal up your woes, the season most fit his love to disclose, till he is ready to show his good will, be patient and steady, and wait on him still. In the first epistle of Peter, in the first chapter, you will know, I'm sure you'll be in front of me in this, there's a word there that speaks about the trial of faith. Those who are taught of God will be taught this. But in the last few weeks of time, I've come to see that word to be something very precious. Very trying, the trial of your faith, be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that, and the rest of it, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. Try it will be, try it must be, the appearance of Jesus Christ will put the matter right. Have you such an expectation? And it's tried. It must be so. It must be so. What would the point of coming here with a text like this if there wasn't someone who is tried because their expectation hasn't come to pass? Jonah said, disobedient prophet as he was, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. Have you such an experience, such a religion? What a disobedience, yes, but nevertheless, have you such an experience where the Lord, you would say, raised up a hope, and upon that hope you trusted, rested, looked for the fulfillment of this or that, and find it to be tried? And it will be tried. What God has brought about in your soul or mine will be tried by different ways and different circumstances. But do remember this, that the Christ of God was subject to the same temptation. I'll tell you a personal thing, if you will forgive me. I was troubled about something on one occasion recently, very recently. And I suppose I walked this out a little bit. But the Lord knew what I was troubled about and what I failed to see. And whilst I was musing upon it, the Lord dropped these words in. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Well, the psalmist there, of course, was cast down because of the accusations of the enemy. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, or they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Now, how does a poor sinner come into this pathway of expectation? Because there is a gracious work in that soul. You go back, you that fear the Lord take you back a little while and a little distance to those times when you were dead in trespasses and sins. And through his mercy and his divine choice, he began to teach you something of yourself. And the more he taught you, the more hopeless it became. And not only were you hopeless, but helpless in the matter. But there's some wonderful truths that are learned by such teaching. Not only one's own sinful state and condition, but if God is teaching you something, he'll teach you of the mercy that is found in a precious Jesus. And if you have glimpses by precious faith of this blessing, your spiritual heart will go after it. And it will be, from time to time, I would venture to say that it will be from time to time that a little hope is raised up. A little hope. And with hope comes expectation. That there is an anticipation too, if I might use another word, that these days of blessing will come when you will be brought into a sweet, sacred possession of what you've been seeking after. But you see, we are taught by experience that that experience will teach you what is of God is put into the fire. Doesn't alter the truth. It does not change the will and purposes of God, not for a moment, but it strengthens, supports and help the tried people of God when it pleases him to raise up help and hope in one person only. Your salvation and mine, if it is the exercise of our soul, will be found in the preciousness of the person and of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thine expectation shall not be cut off, because it rests not on your knowledge of the scriptures, not of you or me trying to get in front of God, but it rests upon the unchangeable, unalterable purposes of God. When I was very young, I learnt by hearing it, I suppose, 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. I do hope that life and years flew by, that we began to see something more in just that beautiful hymn. Because it covers everything in my view. His purposes are ripening fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet should be the flower. Many a time, those words in that hymn have been a comfort to me. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. And you think, let me take you through the word of God to that occasion. Two occasions I want to speak about. If I forget one, you'll have to forgive me. The Lord put it into the heart of Joseph, Jacob's favourite son, Joseph, that one day, when he was at the age of 17, that one day his father, mother, and brethren would bow down to him. But he didn't show any way to it, but neither does he show you or me the way of this expectation. Jealousy rose up in the hearts of minds of his brethren or his brothers, so they sold him to merchantmen going down into Egypt, and then fabricated a lie for the benefit of their father. Put his coat, this coat of many colours, dipped it in the blood of an animal, and took it back and said, "We found this." Lies in front of God. Oh, how hard their hearts must have been. Back in 1981, I used to teach in a Sunday school. The last subject that we had before we moved up to Norfolk was this: the steps of a good man, and I'm not speaking about me, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I went through the steps of Joseph. His purposes, God's purposes, was ripening fast, but there was a way to it. How could it be otherwise? In the wisdom of God, if there will be a time, as there will be a time, rather, not if, as there will be a time, when his dreams will come to pass. So the Lord must providentially put it together. Well, you know the story. It counts in the book of Genesis. Not only the lies that those brethren committed, sins they committed, but also the effect of that, you know. Jacob said more than once that he shall go to the grave with grey hairs. I wonder whether you and I have ever said that. But if you and I are the subjects of God's mercy, you will never go to the grave with sorrow. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. And the steps of that good man was decreed, ordered, and appointed of God. There came a time, you know, when he showed himself, revealed himself. "I am Joseph." And I'm sure that must have struck terror into their minds. But you see, he was a gracious Joseph. "It was not you that brought me hither, but God." His purposes will come to pass. There's another sweet word there. I hope you'll forgive me. They took wagons into Canaan to pick up Jacob and their families. And they said to Jacob, thy son Joseph is alive. And the heart of Jacob melted. And I assumed, I must say this carefully, I presumed then that the poor man fainted under the knowledge of it. When he saw the wagons, has that ever struck your mind? Have you ever been struck with such simple words as that? And when he saw the wagons, what were the wagons for? To take Jacob and his kith and kin down into Egypt. So there was proof that his ex, and here is the mystery of the Lord's purposes. I don't believe, you know, that Jacob ever had any expectation of seeing his son Joseph again. But you see, the purposes of God was worked out. And that expectation was not cut off. Those dreams, when he was 17, all came to pass. All came to pass. What did they say? What did these Egyptians have said to them when they were coming to the end of the corn? Go to Joseph. Now, dear friends, this is not just a history story of the patriarch. This is a reminder to us of the mercy and goodness of God in grace. If he's called you by his grace, convinced you of your sin, and brought you in guilty before God, he put a cry in your heart, and that cry was mercy. And I stand here to tell you this, that I'm sure in all my heart that the day when he put a cry in your heart for mercy, you never expected mercy. You never expected mercy. That well-known prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. If God has, through his grace, his compassion, taught you your depravity, he's taught you the remedy, will teach you the remedy. Sins within thee, all about thee. But the remedies without thee, see it in the Saviour's blood. I don't know what view you've got of that good man's prayer. I'm right in saying this to you. I don't suppose the publican thought what I'm going to say. But God, who begins a work, will end the work. And having convinced the publican of his sin, he then revealed the way of restoration. And that is in that word, mercy. When you are brought into the extremity of conviction of sin, and you feel as though the very gates of hell are being opened for you, and God puts into your heart a prayer for mercy, lays a word from God in your heart that you are brought to pray for mercy, I don't suppose for a second you saw it as the way of blessing and favour to your soul. But, dear friends, when you were dead in trespasses and sins, you never prayed for mercy. And why? Because you never needed it. And I hope this is not too simple for any of us, but God teaches his children by exercise. And he'll bring them to know their poverty in themselves and their sinfulness in themselves, long before they are brought to pray for deliverance. If you take an example in the book of Genesis, Joseph was the occasion. I want to go back a bit further than that. It's not in the book of Genesis, it's in the book of Exodus. Israel was in Egypt. But you see, changes came, and Pharaoh's changed. And there was one there that became nothing more than a despot. He hated the Jews and set them as slaves. There was a time when we all loved Egypt. We had no desire for the things of time, no desire for the things of God, but for the things of time. But you see, the Lord's people must come out of Egypt. And there was only one way that they shall come out: to afflict them, made them willing to come out of Egypt. And this came about because of the mercy of God in the killing of the Passover lamb. And the refuge that the blood of the Passover lamb was to them. And furthermore, he showed his mercy to his children by confirming that. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When you see the wisdom of God, they were to come out of Egypt. Why did they have to come out of Egypt? Because the patriarchs were promised Canaan. Egypt wasn't their home, not their constant home. They were to go to Canaan, which is where they were to be to live, and that's where they are now. But you see, the Lord has mercy upon his children and makes them to realize what Egypt is. It's the place where they must leave. We often sing, I suppose, and we often refer, or you do as well, I'm sure, to leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. How are you going to leave the hateful ways of sin if they're not hateful to you? Why don't the chapel get filled up with people? Because they've got no desire to be where the truth is. But when the Lord works in the soul, he'll bring them to the house of God and convince them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And he'll do this in a personal way, not as he does someone else. It isn't a pattern. I was going to say, one poor sinner is not a pattern for another, other than it is mercy. But the Lord will teach his people the way to seek mercy. Now, they will come out of Egypt by the shed blood. Not the shed blood only, the applied blood. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? I'm not preaching if in anything, but necessarily for the benefit of the children of God spiritually, as well as for the Israelites. They were to kill the Passover lamb and put the blood of that lamb into a basin. And I hope you'll forgive me when I put it this way, but they had to do something with it. There was to be an application. And that application was to put it on the doorpost and lintel. And that's what they sheltered under. How dependent they were upon this Israel's God to find a way of escape. The publican found a way of escape because God put it in his heart to pray for mercy. That's the way of escape. But mercy was provided, is provided, shall be provided through the person of his Son Jesus. Because whatever you say and whatever you know by reading of the truth of the sacrifice, suffering, sacrifice and death and resurrection of the Saviour, you can be sure of this, and I say it, I hope, as reverently as I can, but you can see it surely, not in the reading of it as in the doctrine of the truth, but when you come to see it in the experience of it, and you will see that it brought mercy and does bring mercy. You look to that blood, and by precious faith you see that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, how is it that that precious word in John's epistle is to be made known to his people? By bringing to them the hopelessness of sin and the helplessness of themselves. That's positively true, you know. If the Lord is to bless you with eternal blessings, he will bring you into the place where those blessings shall be for the benefit of your soul. I've quite often said, and I had to get it the right way round in case I'm misinterpreted, God doesn't change his method or his way, but he has this supreme authority to change his people. He won't change the way of salvation. The way of salvation is Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he'll bring his dear people into those places and times when that's where their cry and their sigh will be for. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. Now, there's another thing. If you know what it is to be blessed with an expectation of his mercy, and you're brought to see that that way and that way alone is the way of blessing, oh, how you'll watch for it and wait for it. But you see, whatever comes against it, the fire shall not hurt thee. I only desire thy dross to remove and thy gold to refine. You know the word. But in the purposes of God, you know, where he raises up an expectation of the mercy of God, he will indeed bring it to pass in his way and his time. Now, I want to also try to point out what is called the exercises of the people of God. Those who are the subjects of God's grace, that work of grace will raise up not only what we've said already, a spirit of prayer and a desire for the mercy of God, but it will raise up a hope here and there that will be established by God, by his Spirit, in the soul. And it brings this expectation. Sometimes you can go to God's house and go home bitterly disappointed. There's been many a time, isn't there? Bitterly disappointed. Perhaps sometimes, here and there, you'll go up to God's house with the burden of the need of mercy, and something is applied. Something. God in his mercy is led to take the word of God and apply it to you. And that brings joy and gladness in the expectation of it. One more hymn that dropped into my thought then. It It speaks of waiting. The time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. The Lord then works by divine purposes, shows you, raises his children to a hope. I said this respecting an exercise. How it will come to pass, you have no, I was going to say, you cannot see. The word of God tells us, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But you read for your interest of those two that walked to Emmaus. I think you'll find that they expected something different of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Redeemed Israel. Whether that was from the Romans or whether it was redemption as far as salvation was concerned. You see, there was one thing which was very clear in them, and that was a spirit, an unbelieving spirit. They thought or trusted in the person of Jesus Christ. But when he died, that took away their trust. That brought them to, the word says, doesn't it? They, as they spoke one to another, reasoned one to another. Now the Lord doesn't work by reason, but by grace, by love. But you see, the purposes of God was outlined in that word, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And if you know, you read these things from year to year. But what is the essence there to remember? What is the solid matter in that place, in that word? The provision of Jesus Christ for lost sinners. Minds, alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, or thy goodness do thee good. Sins within thee, all about thee, but the remedies without thee, see it in the Saviour's blood. Dear friends, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So therefore, that blessed work was not in vain. It was not in vain. It was for the purpose of salvation. But to who? To those that were lost. And I've often said, looking back and feeling too now in these days, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Now the helplessness that a sinner has in himself, of course, is his lost condition. That's one of the most merciful teachings that the Holy Spirit will teach his children. It takes away all such things as works, all such things as behaviour, all such things that would contribute in a natural mind to the mercies and blessings of God. Now, if he teaches you you're lost, and it's a very painful work to experience, it's because he's going to show you the way of salvation is not in yourself. If you go and read about the Pharisee, when he prayed in the temple, he set about telling God exactly what he'd been doing. And that's where he rested. Not a word of mercy, not a word of sin, but rather what he's been doing. When you and I are taught what you can't do, which makes the exercise more burdensome to you, it pleases the Lord to show you the way of salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. Very simple things sometimes are encouragements to God's people. And when he shows you in a very simple way through the word of God, there's hope raised up. You see, that hope will stand the fire, and that hope and that expectation shall never be reversed. The blessings of God, mercies of God, are without repentance, we read. In other words, the Lord won't promise them one moment and take them away another. Thine expectation shall not be cut off. We spoke just now about Joseph, and really, you know, that's a similar experience, I suppose, to all God's people in different ways, of the exercise of the Lord in the soul of the children of God. Whether it's in the ordinances of God's house, whether it's in the membership of a church, whether it's in the ministry of the word, well, at times you can't see how it will come to pass. Would you have said, if you was in the times of the apostles, would you have said to bring about the preaching of the gospel, the Lord must work upon the heart of one who was a persecutor? Why did he do so? That Saul of Tarsus, which had persecuted the Church of Christ, was about to do so again, was stopped in his journey and brought as a sinner before a holy God. Let me tell you this. Who will value salvation but ruined sinners? That's who will value salvation. In time things, you know, they reward people for their good deeds. In the way of salvation, his salvation is known by sweet experience, but in teaching his children the mercy of salvation, he also teaches them their unreserved knowledge that they don't deserve it at all. Lost sinners will sing his praises in glory, not Pharisees. Well, the question was asked, have you had or are you in under some expectation? And I said as I began, and so we must come to the conclusion, how tried it is at times, that expectation. Oh, but how precious it is, because it will endure and will come to pass. What is your view of spiritual life in your soul? The evidence of spiritual life is spiritual desires, spiritual faculties. But you see, the Lord said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, they shall never perish. Oh, they'll be tried. Of course they'll be tried. I thought just earlier on about the hymn that we sing sometimes. "'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not?" We'll go back to the Gospel of Matthew, and you'll find there something about John the Baptist, who asked the question, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" It was almost to say, wasn't it, that this expectation of life eternal, he nearly lost. Jesus said, "Go, show John again these things." Dear friends, your expectation is secure if it's in Christ Jesus. But it also will be tried. But bless the Lord for his mercy in providing what indeed he did in the case of John, an evidence of the truth of that expectation. It was Christ, or the person of Christ, which was troubling John, and he had the evidences of Christ brought before him. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. David said, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may be ashamed." Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pack on Tuesday evening. Let us close with part of hymn number 827. We usually sing this at the Lord's table. We'll omit verse 2. Suffering Saviour, Lamb of God, how hast thou been used? With the Almighty's wrathful rod, soul and body bruised. Hymn 827, omitting verse 2.
Amen.
dear Lord, how short we come. But Lord, thy word doesn't come short. Oh, may the blessed Spirit use it, Lord, and bless it to the souls of thy people. What encouragement there is in it to look again towards thy holy temple. Dear Lord, take away all that has been sinful in thine eyes. Wash it away. Now take us to our homes in peace and abide with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us now and always. Amen.